Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hi, thanks for tuning in. This is Sarah, aka Sarah is Loading, and you are listening to Zero Dark Nerdy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Zero Dark Nerdy, the world's most notorious pop culture podcast.
The filthiest of the filthy!
Brought to you by Four Saints Brewery in Asheboro, North Carolina. Great beer for great people. If you're ever in or around the Asheboro, North Carolina area, be sure to check them out. The website is foursaintsbrewing.com, and the four is spelled out. So not the number four, F-O-U-R, saintsbrewing.com. Phenomenal beer. Great people. Big shout out to Joel and his whole company out there. And so that's our main sponsor for the show. We are excited to have back here via satellite the one, the only Sarah Chu in the building.
Hey, how are you? I'm so happy to be here.
Hey, we are so happy to have you back. I know it's been a little while since we talked, but you know, you've been on the show. You've been a regular here since we started as multi-popsural, as we were talking about before we started filming, and now we're Zero Dark Nerdy. So we are glad to catch up with you and just kind of get a recap of what, you know, your 2021 has been like. I know last time we talked, we're in the middle of a pandemic and Comic-Cons were canceled, all this stuff. And, you know, we've seen obviously on your Instagram that you're now getting back into cosplaying. So just, give the fans kind of rundown of this year and what's coming up next.
Anyone who watched this would say it's the biggest thing they watched this year was Attack on Titan season 4. Mm-hmm. But if we already spoke about that, I'm not going to like bore you again, like I do with all of my friends that are like,
we don't have enough anime episodes.
Stop talking about Attack on Titan.
No, we don't have enough anime episodes. So please, I want to hear the dish on what your take was on season 4.
All right. Should we just start with that?
Yeah, of course.
All right. But please stop me if you're like, this sounds really familiar. No. Okay, so Attack on Titan season 4, it came out earlier this year. I'm like looking at the time, COVID time. I have like no idea what year it is, what month it is, what season.
Oh, yeah.
It's warm. I think it's summer. I don't know. So Attack on Titan came out, I think it was also warm. So maybe like spring. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I've always like enjoyed Attack on Titan, like most people who watch anime, but like I was never like in love with it. Like it's just, that is that stereotypical new shonen anime. Like, you know, you have the hero that wants to try really hard and da da da. It's very like, it's fine, but you know, it's not going to change your life. But, you know, entertaining until season 4 came along and it just screwed up my entire life in like the best way.
Okay.
And it, I'm like, still at a loss for words. I think about it all the time. And anyway, so season 4 comes out and there's a time skip.
Okay.
Which usually is like pretty bad. Like no one really likes a big time skip, but we have a time skip of a couple years. And the season also starts with a bunch of new characters.
Okay.
So it sounds like it's going to be terrible. You're like, what show even is this? But it works really well. You do see your old characters come back in after you've gotten to know the new ones. And it just, it actually makes you think really deep because you're now like, you understand like both sides and you don't really, like every episode you're like, I don't know how I feel about what I just saw. Like, that was really cool. I love that fight. Like, this was like awesome. And then like, there are parts that just, they go too far and you're like, I don't know about that. And it's funny, I would text my best friend during these episodes and like the work schedules would be like slightly different. So I could tell where she was in the episode just from the text, like, oh my God, oh my God, oh, this is so badass. Wait, I don't know how I feel about this. I'm like, I know exactly what she's watching right now. So yeah, that's the worst description ever, but like no spoilers in there, right?
And
a lot of hype.
Well, you're still keeping people guessing, which is great. And right. Now a word from our sponsor. If you're into sports betting, BetOnline is where you should go to win money today. Whether it's live bets during games or futures for who you think will win the championship, BetOnline has all the latest odds, news, and information for all of your online sports betting needs. Visit the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So before the next big game, head on over to BetOnline and start playing today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Right?
Now, let me ask you, if they were to do a American live action remake, like let's just say if you had like your top choices of actors and actresses, like who would you like to see in there if they were to do it?
I think they did a Japanese remake. That's really funny that you brought that up. I don't know. I'm watching my Instagram stories.
Maybe a little bit.
I would choose to never ever make a anime live action movie. Is that a cop out answer?
No, that's a great answer because it's the truth.
They're all bad except for there's been one series to pull off a great live action, and I refuse to watch it for years because it's like my favorite anime series. And any older person, I guess, or anybody watches a lot of anime, we know there's no such thing as a good anime live action movie. I don't even think the people making it think they're good. There's no way they think these are good movies. I don't know why they keep doing
it. Right. Agreed. So now that the world is opening up a little bit, you know, conventions are now starting to come back into fruition. So what's up next for, you know, originally you were Sarah Chu on Instagram. Now you are Sarah's Loading. So,
yes.
And she'll get into all that here towards the end as well. So upgrading, you know, name change, nothing wrong with that at all. But, you know, we've missed your cosplays. Glad to see you back doing it again. So what are we in store for in regards to upcoming like cosplays and conventions that you're going to be attending?
Yeah. Like we know with COVID, anything could happen, but I can speak for what I know as of today. So I am actually planning on going to AwesomeCon for a day, just Saturday. That's in 2 weeks.
Nice.
And
that's in DC, correct? Or Maryland?
I think it's in DC. I should probably figure that out. Pretty sure it's DC. So I need to... Pretty sure I can get a ticket there. Anyways, logistics, I'll figure that out later. Don't like planning too much because COVID, disappointment. But yes, so for bigger cons, I also have Saturday for New York Comic Con up in the air if I'm going to go or get more days, but I do have a Saturday ticket. I'm definitely going to do Anime NYC. I have all the days for that. I freaking love Anime NYC, and it's a less dense con. It's and it'll be great. I feel confident about that one. I also have plans to go to KatsuCon next year. Freaking best con ever. So I think that's it for now. So we'll see what actually happens. I'm sure we'll have another call in a few months, and what I actually make it to, we'll see. But that's the plan for today. Oh, I also have tickets for San Diego Comic-Con that they never refunded. So whenever that happens, I might go to that.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. So, you know, a lot of people are obviously upset because they moved it to Thanksgiving weekend, which is when a lot of people travel. And
oh, did they?
Yeah. Yeah. So that was the plan, and it's supposed to be.
Okay, I'm not going.
Right. So that's what I was going to ask. Are you going this year? Are you just going to hold off and wait for next year when hopefully everything blows over?
Oh gosh, I guess I'll have to look into that. So I thought what they were doing, this is old info, but I thought they were doing like a smaller one in the fall and then like the bigger one like later on, and your tickets could transfer to either. But okay. I honestly don't know if it's just the one Thanksgiving weekend. I didn't see that update. So
pretty small. And obviously a lot of movie studios were upset about their decision because that's when we get the majority of our awesome trailers that, you know, for movies that we want to see. So now they're like, not only do we not get to release this during San Diego Comic-Con, now you're doing a smaller version of it. And you're also doing it during Thanksgiving weekend when most people are traveling to see their family.
Yeah, they should not do that. That's my opinion. I mean, I've been before, spent lots of money there, enjoy the con. I have tickets. So my feedback is that's stupid. There's no reason to do it.
Right.
that like Thanksgiving weekend. Just ship back a couple months.
Yeah.
We'll be good. Maybe like late February when it's like still cold everywhere, but it'll be nicer in San Diego. Like people won't be mad about it. They'll be happy. Even if the world's a gross place at the time, like, whatever, I'm still going to go because it's California and it's like February.
Of course. Got to love California. So, you know, hopefully the new Delta variant doesn't ruin all of your plans coming up. So as far as what Delta variant hasn't ruined, what are some of the latest movies that you've seen? I just saw the Black Widow cosplay, which looked tremendous. And then you also did the cosplay of the sister, correct? The white outfit.
Yeah. The Lionel cosplay. Yeah. Yes. I actually did that back in January.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. But I guess I haven't been posting her, you know, Instagram hasn't been showing my posts, but yeah. I obviously always end up with a bunch of photos when I shoot and I'm like, now's a good time to post them. So what's the question? Movies that have come out?
Just as far as, like, you know, have you seen Black Widow? Like, what are your thoughts on it? Like, have you been to the theater since COVID? And if so, like, what movies you like, maybe you didn't like? And
we'll go from there. So I actually haven't seen the Black Widow movie yet. The movie theater closest to me shut down and it's living in the city. I live in, you know, Philadelphia, like in South Philadelphia. To get to a movie theater, it's a bit of work. It's not like in the suburbs when you just hop in your car and just drive and like
right.
So I definitely wanted to see it, but I'm not going to pay $30 on Disney Plus, especially after I found out that they're not giving Scarlett Johansson that money.
right. So I'm glad you brought that up. Like, what are your feelings about that? Because I tell you what, I'm 100% on board with her.
Pay her.
Yeah.
Like, if it were like Robert Downey Jr., this would not be an issue. They would just pay him.
Right.
And like, people have wanted this movie for so long. And I was like, oh, I'll just rent it. Great. You know, maybe 10, 15 bucks, no problem. I'm like, wait. 30? That's ridiculous. But I was like about to do it until I saw that they didn't give her any of that money.
Yeah.
And like, again, I'm like the consumer, like the San Diego thing. I'm the average consumer of this stuff. I wanted to go to the theater and it's just not really super accessible for me. So my option was to spend more money to stream it. Like, you know, clearly I'd want to go to a theater.
Yeah.
They should pay her.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially the MCU films, period, in general, just like you said, Robert Downey Jr. has not had an issue getting paid. I mean, he got paid, I think it was something like $50 million for like, not even the Iron Man films. It was for Civil War or something like that. And I mean, it's just absurd what, you know, the guys get paid compared to the women. And that was a stipulation in her contract. Then I just saw that Emma Stone is doing the same thing in regards to Cruella that she's suing because they released it on Disney Plus and it was in her contract that this should be, you know, a movie theater release and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a valid, usually I'm never like, yeah, they should sue, but in this case, I'm like, yeah, they should. That's messed up. And their response was like, oh, so awful, being like, that's terrible of them to try to profit off of these like tough COVID times. I'm like, shut up. Like, that is not what's going on. Like, stop trying to like make up some stuff about how they don't care about COVID. Right. No, they just want to get paid like for the work they did.
They want what to do. Plain and simple. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And I can't stand this whole cancel culture where everybody will find anything to bitch about at all whatsoever. And it's just like, look, there's stipulations and contracts. That's why contracts are in place and they want what's due to them. Plain and simple. Yeah. Like you said, if Robert Downey Jr. would be like, I want my money, Disney would have been like, oh shit. Sorry, Robert.
There you go. We'll make sure you're good. Yeah. To me, I'm like, it's not that complicated. Like they violated the contract, pay her.
Right.
The story.
So even though you haven't been able to make it out to the theaters, anything that you've been like,
well, that's actually not true. I didn't see Black Widow.
Okay. All right.
But I did, a week and a day ago, finally made it back to the movie theater to see the new Suicide Squad. I saw it as an early release premiere in New York because And apparently I don't know how to go to a movie theater normally. So I have to go to an early release premiere.
You got to do a red carpet style.
Yeah. So I saw the new Suicide Squad, which is hilarious. And I highly recommend it. And it was good to be like back in a theater. Like I honestly knew like half the people there.
Without any spoilers, what can you tell us about Suicide Squad?
I was surprised by how funny it was. Like they're funny movies. I knew it would be funny. But it was definitely like darker and more like gory and a bit more grotesque than I expected it to be. But it was also really funny as well. Like, surprise, I was like, I can't believe I'm laughing at this. This is terrible. But like everyone was, that was the point. And I feel like that's a hard thing to do. It would be very easy to offend people or to go too far or to think it's funny and be like, that didn't land right. But like, it was consistently in that tone of like grotesque and inappropriate, but hilarious. And they did it right. Like every single moment throughout the movie, kind of like nonstop. So I'm excited for you to see it and experience it.
I can't wait. And just so we know too, are there any like mid credit scenes, post credit scenes that we can look forward to, or did it just end and that was it?
There was a post credits. Yeah, there was. I'm like, we're waiting around. Yeah.
Cause this episode,
if you like have something else you got to get to, like you don't need to wait around, it's not like, you have to do this, but like there is a post credits.
Okay. All right. So in terms of the video game world, that was actually the last episode we did was the PlayStation
5. Okay.
Yeah, that was the one that me, you, and Jordan did where it just came out.
Oh my gosh, that was so fun.
Yeah, yeah. And we talked about the original game that came with it, with the characters and all that. So, so what have Siobhan. You been gaming on? Been gaming on lately? Are you still on Siobhan?
I'm still playing Astrobot. gosh, that episode it's like, we got pre-orders. They're still hard to get out there, but
oh yeah.
So this will probably really infuriate anyone listening to this, but I'm using my PS5 pretty much exclusively to play Genshin Impact.
Do what you want to do. It's your PlayStation 5. You can do whatever you
want
to do.
I know, right? It is mine. I'll do what I want with it.
It takes up half your house, is what we talked about last time.
Exactly. So powerful. It's like Genshin. It's like you can play it on your cell phone, but no, I need to play it on a PS5. Because I'm extra like that. I was playing it actually right before, this call. It's like, oh man, I have to turn this off. It's fine. Bit of an addiction. But no, it's really good. I've never played a gacha game before. Have you played a gacha game before?
I don't think I have.
Do you know what that term is?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I just don't think I've played one right now.
I've just been doing Genshin Impact. I actually never heard the term gacha game before.
Okay.
This. So in case
for our listening fans out there that don't know about gacha games, please fill them.
So a gacha game, gacha, it's a Japanese term for, it's Japan. I'm pretty sure it's like the UFO machines. It's like an arcade thing, like gacha, like you get the like prize basically. Okay. So it's based off like a arcade term. It's kind of like getting like a random surprise prize. So that term is now like applied to a style of video game. That'd be the right word. A type of games out there where essentially it's a form of gambling. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm trying to think of a nicer way to word it, but you get in-game currency and I only know Genshin. So if I don't describe other gachas right, Sarah is loading yell at me and like, I don't know, just send me hate mail. But my understanding is you get some in-game currency from playing and you can use that stuff to send Genshin. You make wishes to get like characters. And then but there's like a limited amount of it. So at least for Genshin, you don't have to pay anything for this game. It's kind of incredible. They straight up just ripped off Breath of the Wild, which is a smart idea. It was game of the year, like a few years back. And they improved basically anything I would want improved on the game. I don't like that Link doesn't speak. There's no like voice acting. I don't really like the little chibi sprites. So it's like Breath of the Wild, but they have waifus and husbandos, just like tons of cute anime babes and man babes. And they all have voice acting. Like the game has great music, huge world exploration. Like, and it's totally free. You could download it right now and play like just always for free. And what's cool about Genshin is they don't like keep any like missions or story or anything behind money. You can do literally everything totally for free. The only thing you'd spend money on is if you want a specific character, and you can still wish and have a chance at those characters. And there's ways of like maximizing your chances at those characters for free, but there's no way to get every single character, which you don't need every character. But if you're like, I really want this character like right now, and you haven't saved up your in-game currency, then like you have to spend real money.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not that bad, but like I would say, like if you have a gambling problem, maybe don't ever play these games.
Personality, don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it. Like, because the game itself, even just playing, like it is addictive. Like they're made, like that's why they're made. They're made to get you to spend your money and to keep playing and right. to get you to log in every day. There's commissions and ones like even just logging in every day, you get some of that in-game currency. So they're smart. They know how to make money, and like good for them.
Well, that's a good education, because I mean, as far as what I knew from about gacha games, it wasn't even all that. So you educated me on all that. Now I feel like I need to do it, but I should not.
Are you saying you have a gambling
person? A little bit. I did hit the casino this past weekend while I was in Tampa, and luckily I was not there all night long. So,
well, see, you have self control. I think it would be okay to play then.
Yeah, I might try it out.
It's one of those games that, like, you know, I've spent a little bit in it, but it wasn't until after I'd already put in like over 100 hours for free, and I'm like, you know, I'm an adult, and like I've played this game like a lot. I'm like, I should give them some money. Like, right. They're making it hard for me to give them money because they keep coming out with content. I'm like, maybe I'll spend this $5 on this thing. I don't know.
In terms of, you know, back to kind of the cosplay world, which we did get a couple questions today. Mm-hmm. Too. First and foremost, one guest asked if, you know, she's interested just getting into cosplaying in general, but is, I guess for lack of a better term, like worried about looking stupid. Like, what is your advice to, you know, brand new cosplayers out there that are looking to get into it, looking to go to Comic Cons, may not have the money or the means or whatever it may be to have that fantastic looking outfit? You know, just, they just kind of wanted some feedback on how you started off and any advice that you have for new cosplayers out there that are looking to make that leap and not trying to look quote unquote stupid.
Okay. Well, here's my secret. I always look stupid in my head.
It's like the Hulk. I'm always angry.
Yeah, I always look stupid. If you're trying to not look stupid, don't do cosplay. I don't know. It's probably not the right answer, but like, I do feel stupid.
I love that answer, though. I love that answer.
But like, yeah, like part of it does feel like kind of embarrassing every time I do it. But there's like another part that is stronger than that side that enjoys it so much, that side, like, I know will always win. And like, yeah, it's hard. Like even today I was trying on a cosplay, that I got the alterations, and it's like, even just snapping a photo of like, hey, I'm trying this on. Like I felt kind of stupid doing it, and it's because it's been a while, and it's just one of those things that gets easier the more you do it, because that feeling when you're in the cosplay is like so much better than like any anxiety that's kind of in your head. That part's like kind of in the beginning before you're actually in the cosplay and out there. But once you do it, it's, I don't know, I just, that part doesn't really exist too much anymore. So I say, just do it. Just keep doing it. Get past that initial part and see how you feel about it. And, you know, if you're like, yeah, I did not like cosplaying, then don't do it. But it's kind of hard to really say that you don't want to do it or like feel stupid about it if you're not actually doing it.
Fun answer. And I mean, I couldn't agree more. I mean, half the time when I do my cosplays, I'm like, oh my gosh, I look like an idiot. But You just got to get out there and do it. I think to me, and I'm sure you could probably agree, the most gratifying thing is when you actually do go to a convention and people come up to you, and it's just whether if it's something simple, small, or extravagant, where just you get recognized for being that character that you're doing, you know, even if it's not the best outfit ever. And I'm not one for attention by any means at all whatsoever. So it's just one of those things, like, you know, for instance, when we did, we were Average Joe's, we were just going in there because it was the most comfortable cosplay outfit ever. It was just shirt, shorts, dodgeball, you know, tall socks. And, you know, every time we ran, like, we couldn't get 5 feet without people being like, "Hey, this is awesome." And I'm like, "This is probably the most inexpensive cosplay outfit I've ever bought in my entire life." So, you know, agreed with you. I definitely agree with you. It's definitely one of those things to take a jump, but I do think everybody should take the jump, because at the end of the day, that's what why I love conventions, and probably why you do too, because there's so much acceptance. You know, like, we're all just big nerds that love what we love. And it's not like you're going to walk in there and be like, "Oh my gosh, like, look at this person trying to be this person." You know what I mean? Like, it's
oh my gosh, never. Yeah. There's like no judgment. It doesn't matter. Like, if you're, I don't know, if it's your first cosplay ever, if it's, you know, if you're a professional cosplayer, like, what people see at the convention is, "Oh my God, that's my favorite character." Or like, "How do you know that anime? It's from the 90s. No one knows that. We're best friends now." And it doesn't matter if it's made out of like toilet paper. It just matters that you're like my hero right now.
Agreed. So when we first met you in person was New York Comic Con a couple of years back, and you were dressed as Daenerys. Are you excited for House of the Dragon? And you have, obviously, we haven't seen any stills, nothing like that. I think it's still in production. But do you plan on doing some cosplays for that show when that comes out on HBO?
I am excited for it. Not like excited. Not overly excited, because, no. You know why. But yeah, the Targaryen family, they do have an interesting backstory, and a lot of it already exists and hopefully just won't be like totally made up out of nowhere where it makes no sense. But yeah, I always thought the family was the most interesting family. I would Google stuff and try to like find out more. And I like genuinely wished there was this story before we knew that it was coming out. So, you know, I'll give it a shot. And, you know, I actually do have confidence it'll be good. Like, you can't ruin the worst show in history, or you can't take the best show in history and completely ruin it without like learning and listening to feedback. And I mean, you could, but I mean, I have faith that they're trying to make a good show at least.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the report is that Benioff and Weiss are no longer involved, and this is a heavily involved George R.R. Martin with this story, because he's done the side books, the side projects, even though he hasn't wrapped up Game of Thrones yet. And Lord knows if that'll ever happen. But I am excited about that. And then we have the Batman coming out next year, Robert Pattinson, which the trailers look pretty good for it.
I'm so excited for that.
There you go.
That is one I'm excited about. Robert Pattinson's what it takes. But no, it's kind of what I was saying before. Like, he's not who I would think of when I would think of Batman. Mm-hmm. Like, but I like that. I don't need to see the same white dude playing Batman. Like, he's a white dude, but like, I know he's a little bit different, and the way he's playing it, it's a little bit creepy and weird. And it's, I don't know, I'm just excited for something different. And I think that's probably as most different as we'll get from all the other Batmans out there.
Oh no, I agree. And I mean, he's done great stuff. My daughter is a huge A24 movie fan. She's kind of converted me to one. So we watched The Lighthouse, which black and white film, A24, mm-hmm. You know, but great performances by him as well as Willem Dafoe. It's one of those things where, yeah, you're not going to watch it for special effects, CGI, this, that, and the other. You're going to watch it for cinematography and just phenomenal acting. Mm-hmm. And he's knocked it out of the park. Between that and the other movie he did was Good Time, which is on Netflix, I believe. And, you know, A24 movies are historically known for not having happy endings, but he's a good actor. You know, he shouldn't just solely be associated with the damn Twilight saga. Like, come on. Mm-hmm. It's been 20 plus years now, people. Like,
really? Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm all about it. So I say something else I would like hate myself if I didn't mention it in this podcast. So it actually came out last Friday, so a few days ago. So I can't say I'm excited for it in the future, but we're talking about things to be excited about. So I'm like, well, these movies are like a couple years in the future. And like something I was so excited about just came out on Netflix. There's not really anything in like the next couple of months, but the I know we talked about this earlier, so you're going to laugh at me, but it's a live action anime. the only good one that was ever made, the Rurouni Kenshin series. It's being canceled. The writer's been canceled. I don't even want to get into that, but it just, it's funny. It all relates. But they made the 90s anime into now 5 live action movies, and the last two just... Well, last two came out like a month apart, but like the final one came out on Friday, and I made my friend watch it with me in the Airbnb in Asheville. We did not go out that night. I'm like, I'm sorry, we have to watch this samurai movie. It came out today. I'm so excited. I was no shame looking for pirates for like months. It only came out a few months ago in Japan, but I was like, I can't wait. But I did wait, only because I couldn't find the pirates, but I'm still going to buy the movie and pay for it and all of that. But what makes these movies so good is, and different from the rest of anime movies, is the style of them are based on like traditional like samurai movies that were like based on like Westerns, I guess. It's like a certain genre. Right, like
samurai and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yes. So like while they take like inspiration from the anime, I mean, it's the story of the anime, but they definitely make a point to change things to make them more realistic, which is good. I feel like a lot of the anime live actions, they just do this stuff that makes no sense when you see it like in person. And the movies are like, they're very cognizant about things that like just don't make sense. And they'll like acknowledge it, or even like, I think like the first movie, they like mention his like kimono color, like, it's, I guess, not really a color that would have been worn back there. And they're like, oh, it was my dad's. He was kind of like tacky. You know, I'm like, oh, okay. Like explaining those things. The movies are, the action sequences are some of the best you'll ever see in your entire life. The choreography is incredible, mind-blowing. And I've like read articles like Hollywood people who know about this are like, oh, these movies in Japan just have this like incredible choreography. All the actors do their own stunts. The main actor guy, like, he's like a movie star in Japan. He watched an interview, or read an interview where he said that if he couldn't do his own stunts, he would quit his job as an actor. you can watch the behind the scenes, and they're like, I'm like, oh, I think he might just like broke his ankle there. They're like taping it up, and now he's like running and jumping on the roof again. And they'll use wires, but they don't CGI, and I don't think they really speed anything up. So it's kind of incredible when you see them running really fast. It's like those little details, like in a Marvel or whatever movie, when they're running, they just look perfect and their hair is like lightly bouncing. Here when the main character is running, it's like straight up ugly face, like hair plastered back. And you're just like, how is he running so fast?
Right.
But it feels real because it is real. So the last one just came out, which is actually a prequel to the previous four. And it takes place, like, I'm not going to get into too many details, but during like a war that happened 10 years prior to the main series. And it's like super gritty, super bloody, because it's like a war with samurais. So they're trying to be realistic. It was straight to like mature. I was like, my anime's all grown up. And it was really good. So.
All right. So one more time, I got to write this down because I need to watch it. What is it called? One more time. And for me and the fans out there.
All right. So it's called, the anime series is called Rurouni Kenshin. Also the name of the live action movies. I think just 4 and 5 are on Netflix. They put all of them on like a month ago, but I think just 4 and 5 are on there. So I would watch them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
But. Okay. Well, thank you for giving me something. I'm always appreciative of that.
Yeah. It's samurais, fighting, cool action, good music. Everyone I know who's watched them, who like, even if they don't like anime, Japanese culture, anything, they're like, these are really good. And they never would have heard of them otherwise.
Yeah. You had me on samurais, good fighting and good music. So.
Oh yeah. Please let me know in our next call. I'm going to want to know like your opinion of like every single movie.
For sure. Cause we're definitely going to catch up more often. So before we sign off here, Sarah, why don't you let the fans know how they can find you, whether online, social media, all that fun stuff.
All right. So again, my social media name is Sarah Is Loading. I'm that on all the sites, but I'm mainly like most active on Instagram, occasionally Twitch. I need to get back into that. But really, if you just, again, want to send me some hate messages, it's Sarah Is Loading on Instagram. And I look forward to hearing from you.
Do not send any hate messages. You from all of our pages. Do not send this girl any hate, all right?
I will probably just send you like anime memes back, to be honest.
Well, hang out with us for a second. As always, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Again, big thank you to our main sponsor, Four Saints Brewery. Again, Asheboro, North Carolina. If you live here or driving by, whatever it is that you're doing, be sure to check them out. Great beer for great people. The website is foursaintsbrewing.com, and that is four spelled out. F-O-U-R. As always, big shout out to Andrew Newman, attorney at law, keeping us out of jail with taking care of all of your civil, criminal, and traffic court needs all over the state of North Carolina. And that's all I got. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us.
Gosh, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And we'll see everybody next week. Peace.
Bye.
And anger management?
Fuck anger management.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.